Welcome to another episode of Fantasy End Zone. I am your host, Jake. As always, you can follow me on Twitter or X, people still call it, at LewyLewis5. That's LewyLewis and the number 5. On today's show, I will be recapping all of Wildcard Weekend. And also, I'm going to give you guys news that the next couple weeks, next 8 weeks, I want to play the pretend GM, I guess you would call it. On this, I would be breaking down each division every week. So it's going to be in 8 weeks, the next 8 weeks on Tuesdays, the episode will be out. I will break it down by salary cap, what I would do if I was the GM, who I'd cut, who I'd trade, who I'd draft, just play basically makeup GM. And that's how the next 8 weeks are going to go. That will take us right to, you know, around combine time, and I will start getting and digging into these upcoming rookie players, so it will help for dynasty fantasy owners and managers. And I must say, if you are not in any dynasty leagues, get in them. They are the best. I like those better than redraft leagues. I strongly encourage it. Even if you just do a free one with a bunch of friends, just see how it goes for the first couple years. It's always exciting. Fantasy never dies. It's, you know, your significant other like mine kind of get irritated by the end of regular fantasy. But guess what? Fantasy never dies and never ends. You could always be trading anytime. Right now, I could be trading. Actually, I'm in talks right now with other fantasy owners about potentially trades, you know, acquiring the 101. Which, as of right now, Ashton Jeanty from Boise State, the running back, is consensus number one overall pick in single quarterback or super flex. If I was doing a setup dynasty, I would recommend doing a 12-teamer Superflex, which superflex means you have one starting quarterback in normal position, and there's a superflex, which can be quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end. It gives quarterbacks huge value. I like doing that way, and also I like doing tight end premium, where every catch normally in PPR leagues is one, but in tight end premium for all tight end position, it counts as 1.5. So it kind of makes the playing field a lot better. Normally, like last year, based on Sam Laporta's performance, he would have been wide receiver, I think he's like 25, 26, I think, on the year. But he was tight end one, obviously, on the year. But that's what I would do. That's what I strongly recommend. I know I'm in a bunch. I just love it. I mean, obviously, you still got to get in your redraft leagues, but that's what I would recommend for dynasty leagues. It never dies, never ends, never sleeps. Get into those. Breaking news today, though, before we start anything. The Dallas Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy is set to walk. His contract was up after the 2024 season, and contract negotiations have stalled, and they both agreed to part ways. Just last week, the Cowboys actually denied Bears' request to interview McCarthy, but he is now free to do so if there is still interest from both parties. Now, the Dallas Cowboy head coaching job is going to be a challenge for anyone that goes there, and they have to deal with owner Jerry Jones,
in their way. Jones makes all the business decisions from what he wants, where or how they want to play, and his son also contributes in that. I think his name's Stephen Jones. But also, Cowboys have not reached the NFC Championship game since 1995. So whoever takes on this job will be in high expectation of taking their team to the promised land, or at least the NFC Championships, since it hasn't been done in 30 years. But they do inherit a talented team, especially on the defense side of ball, and one of the best receivers in the game, CeeDee Lamb. Dak Prescott is also coming off a season-ending injury, so it'll be interesting how he comes back and which coaching candidate they decide to hire. And speaking of coaching jobs, the New England Patriots just agreed to signing Mike Vrabel as their new head coach. He returns to New England, where he played multiple seasons and won Super Bowls with them. He last coached for the Tennessee Titans as the head coach, but was let go this past off or last year. I also said in last week's episode, this is probably going to happen, and I was correct. Before we get into recapping the wild card games, let's hear a word from the Podfather.
Oh, incredible news about Fast Draft. Fast Draft DFS is live. It's called the Flex 6 Frenzy. You just draft six guys, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends, for the Sunday slate. You like Jahmyr Gibbs? You like Jaxon Smith-Njigba? You like Tyrone Tracy? Draft him, draft him, draft him. And the beauty is, you can just order five teams, submit your rankings, and Fast Draft will email you the results. We awarded $1,000 in prizes our first week, and we're just going up from there. Soon it's going to be a select six. No drafting at all. You just pick any six guys. Our DFS mantra, just say no to salaries on Fast Draft. Don't forget, there's free tools on Fast Draft too. You want to get ready for startup season? We've created the best Dynasty Mock Draft experience there is. And if you want to play in these DFS contests and our best ball contests for 2025 are coming very soon too, just use promo code PODFATHER when you deposit and you get a free draft. It's that easy. And you're like, oh, I already have Fast Draft. Great. Refer a friend. Have them put your username in as the promo code, and then you and your friend will both get an instant deposit match up to $25. We got DFS. We got Dynasty Mocks. We got Best Ball. It's all there for you on FastDraft.app. Check it out. And the promo code is PODFATHER.
Yeah, check out the DFS app. You could also add mine, Louis Lewis 5. Wildcard weekend. We'll start with the first game, Chargers versus Texans. Chet, who did you guys actually predict? I mean, I'll be honest, I thought the Chargers were going to walk all over Texans. Texans haven't really looked pleasing the last few games, to say. What was your thoughts on this game? To me, it is just a crap game for how Chargers played. This was the first game on Saturday. Chargers got beat 32-12 against the Texans. To me, I was stunned because I predicted Chargers to win this game. Texans actually had other plans for the Texans, though. C.J. Stroud had a kind of game, 282 yards passing, one touchdown, one interception. It's been better than what he has performed as for passing yards, and the resurgence of Joe Mixon appeared when they needed him the most, over 100 yards and a touchdown. The last few games, he's been banged up, and I do believe they sat their starters last week so they could kind of, you know, rest up and get him fully healthy. But the man of the hour for the Texans, Nico Collins, 7 catches, 122 yards, and a score against his former college coach. Collins, last year we seen in the wild card playoff game, have 6 catches, 96 yards, and a touchdown. I do believe he left the game with an injury, if I'm not mistaken. Let me know, Chad, if I'm mistaken on that. Pretty sure he did leave the game with like a hamstring. I know he caught that like a 46-yard touchdown. Just play action and just caught deep bomb. For the Chargers, I want to take a minute. Justin Herbert, coming into this game, he's been red hot, averaging 263 yards, two touchdowns in the last five games, and he only threw two interceptions during those five games. This game, on the other hand, he threw 242 yards and a score, most of that coming on the performance of Ladd McConkey and the one catch that he had, 86-yard touchdown. So if you take that away, man, it was a bad game. He also threw four interceptions. It was a game he needed to perform well, and he just couldn't get done. He choked like Kirk Cousins does in primetime games. Remember, this is the same quarterback two seasons ago that had a 27-point lead and ended up losing to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Herbert is 0-2 in the playoffs, and this was easily the worst game he played of the year. Will he ever win a big-time game or a playoff game in general? I mean, there's a lot of good teams in the AFC. I think the AFC is better than the NFC overall structured. I mean, you got the Chiefs, you got Bills, Ravens, Bengals that didn't even make the playoffs. Steelers somehow always find a way to win and make and choke, whatever you want to say. It's just, but overall, it's just a terrible performance for Justin Herbert, and it's not acceptable. The Chargers couldn't run the ball at all. The only bright spot on this game was Ladd McConkey, the rookie. Nine catches, 197 yards, and a touchdown. I believe, looking up stat, this was like the third best rookie playoff performance debut of all time for receivers. I could be wrong. I'm pretty sure that's what it was. It was like Calvin Johnson had 206 yards receiving one game, and I can't remember the other. But Chargers will have to go back to the drawing board this offseason. And Texans, you now have the back-to-back defending champs. You're on the road to Kansas City. Good luck next week. Steelers took on rival opponent Ravens on Saturday's second game. Ravens took this one 28-14. Lamar didn't have to do too much in this game. He had 175 yards passing, two touchdowns, while also adding 81 yards on the ground. He didn't do anything because Derrick Henry had ran all over the Steelers defense for 186 yards and two scores. Zay Flowers did not play in this one as well. They look for him to be coming back for next week's matchup against the Buffalo Bills. And I think he comes back. Now for the Steelers, Russell Wilson, out of all the losing quarterbacks this week, he probably had the best game out of all of them. He's very efficient. He protected the ball. It was the biggest issue with all the losing quarterbacks. And he put the team in position to score. Unfortunately, they could not run the ball during this game. They only had 29 total yards rushing. But Wilson went 20 for 29, 270 yards, two touchdowns. He was, like I said, probably the best losing quarterback stat-wise. At receiver, George Pickens had five catches, 87 yards, and a touchdown. But that was the only two bright spots on the Steelers team. And their defense gave up way too much running. I think they gave up 299 yards rushing on the ground. It was just, that's not Steeler football. That's just not. The Ravens were dominant both sides of the ball. Hopefully it'll continue next week in their matchup against the Buffalo Bills. As for the Steelers, they have a lot to do this offseason. And the biggest one, who's going to be their starting quarterback next year? Who do you guys think in 2025, who is the starting quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers? I want to know what you guys think. Put it in the chat. Let me know your thoughts. Also, I will be giving you my thoughts in a couple of weeks. Probably next week, I think I'm doing the AFC North first for covering and being the GM. So tune in next week as well, as always. Broncos versus Bills was the first game slated on Sunday. Buffalo takes this one against Denver Broncos 31-7. This game looked like it could begin to be a shootout since the Broncos took the opening drive for a touchdown. But that's all they scored was that touchdown, the opening drive. You know, Bo Nix, I don't know if it was nerves or the Bills defense just locking down this team, but it just looked like right away with ease, Broncos went down, scored, and that was all that's all she wrote for them. He had Bo Nix had 144 yards passing, one touchdown. He also had 43 yards on the ground too. The big issue for the Broncos is they have a non-existent number one true running back. They flip from Jaleel McLaughlin, Javonte Williams, Audric Esime. What are they going to do this offseason at that position? Because they need to get it figured out. I don't see them using or re-signing Javonte Williams. I sure the hell wouldn't. He disappeared most of the games. So that is probably their number one move this offseason, is figure out that running back room. Cortland Sutton tried to do his best to help give this Broncos offense the juice they needed. He had 5 catches, 75 yards. Unfortunately, it was not anything to match the Buffalo Bills, where Josh Allen had 272 yards passing, 2 touchdowns, also ran the ball 46 yards. But also contributing in the rushing game was James Cook, 120 yards rushing and a score. Before, you know, for the receiving aspect for the Bills, they need to get Amari Cooper involved. This is why you traded for him this past year during the season. You don't trade him to get 2 catches, 8 yards. Like, you traded for him to help your team, get you in the right path. I feel like next week it's going to be a struggle if they cannot throw the ball to Amari Cooper. And it's going to be a great matchup next week with the Buffalo Bills taking on the Baltimore Ravens. Second game was the Packers versus Eagles. Packers fall to the Eagles 22-10. This game was physical right from the beginning. The opening kickoff, Keyshawn Nixon fumbled the ball and Eagles recovered it, led to an early touchdown. It was a pretty good defensive battle between the two teams. I thought Eagles were going to walk all over the Packers during this game just because how easy it was to get the ball from Green Bay right away with that kickoff. But Green Bay's defense did shut them down for most of the game, I would say. Toward the end, it looked like they're just so tired, beat up, stupid late penalties, you know, unnecessary roughness penalties that would have led to 3rd-and-3, 3rd-and-13, something like that. They just did too many dumb plays. Also, Jordan Love struggled this game, much like he has all season, 212 yards passing with 3 interceptions. I know injuries became a huge factor for the Packers, especially Elgton Jenkins, the offensive guard. After he went out, the backup, I think he had like 4 penalties for 40 yards. So I'm like, I think he had four holding calls or some sort. It was just terrible. Every time they got a good play, there's a laundry on the field and just move the ball back. But their bright spot was Josh Jacobs, 81 yards and a touchdown. I see him being there next year. He's already talking like he's going to be there. I sure the hell would want him there, and I do want him there. You don't have a clear-cut backup. You know, Emmanuel Wilson, Marshawn Lloyd was hurt pretty much all year. Josh Jacobs got it done. I think he got the fifth highest in franchise history for rushing yards in his first season. I see him being back there. He wants to recruit teams. Perhaps they get somebody from the Raiders, Mason Crosby. And then at receiver, all year it's been unknown who's going to get the ball, who's their number one, and Christian Watson is set to basically miss all of next year. I don't, you know, with his torn ACL and other ligament damage, I don't know what they're going to do at receiver. And also, they gave Jaden Reed basically the number one targets, I would say, for this Green Bay offense or receiving core. And he ended up catching four passes for 46 yards, but suffered an injury, I think, in the third quarter. Also, speaking of injuries for the wide receiver position, Romeo Doubs looked like he suffered another concussion. It's his third one this season. He was even wearing one of those guardian caps that cover your helmet, and he still suffered a concussion, what looked like. Watching that game, though, he was getting taken to the locker room. You know, he had his arms around two people, and basically it looked like they were walking for him, like he was just dragging his feet going into the locker room. To me, that could honestly jeopardize his football career. I think he's got a long way to recover. I mean, having three concussions in, a three-month time, four-month time, it's not looking good. We'll know more detail in the offseason, obviously, but they got to do something. Now at the Eagles, Jalen Hurts comes back from missing concussions, just speaking of it. He only had 131 yards passing with two scores. He didn't have to do much, though, just like Lamar Jackson. When you have a Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry running all over the defense, it's amazing. Barkley had 119 yards rushing. He could have had a touchdown at the end of the game, but he broke loose and slid to ensure the win. And as receivers, you didn't have to do much. Again, you're not going to get a lot with 131 yards passing. I think A.J. Brown, besides reading a book on the sideline, he only had three catches, I do believe. The Eagles will face the winner of tonight's game between Minnesota Vikings and Los Angeles Rams. As for the Packers this offseason, go get Jordan Love a number one receiver. Somebody that's an actual alpha number one receiver. You look at all these playoff teams, what do they most likely have in common? A true number one receiver. That is my number one thought for the Packers offseason. The last game of the night yesterday, the Washington Commanders doinking the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Washington won this game 23-20 with the last second field goal hitting the upright and going in as time expired. Jaden Daniels is one of only a few to get a road victory as a rookie in their first game. He threw 268 yards and two scores, also adding 36 yards rushing. They couldn't get anything else besides his rushing. He led the team in rushing. Brian Robinson Jr. had 10 rushes, but 20 yards. It is just a hard thing to do against this tough Buccaneers run defense. Receiving wise, though, Terry McLaurin performed much like he's done all season. He had 7 catches, 89 yards, and a touchdown. Also in the receiving aspect, Dynami Brown had a career game where he just came out of nowhere having 5 catches, 89 yards, and a score as well. Commanders look to take on the Detroit Lions, so hopefully this victory can help run and lead them to victory in the divisional round. I don't think so, but that's my say. As for the Buccaneers, Baker Mayfield looked good this entire game, but costly fumble that led to a Commanders touchdown. It was just bad play, wrong place, wrong time kind of thing. Bucky Irving caps off incredible rookie season with 77 yards on the ground and 2 catches, 6 yards, but a touchdown. And veteran Mike Evans dominates with 7 catches, 92 yards, and a score. But it wasn't enough for the Buccaneers. The Buccaneers will have to add some help this offseason to get them over the hump of just making the playoffs.
And that is a wrap for another episode of Fantasy End Zone. Be sure to like, follow, subscribe, click the little notification button. It's free to do so. It helps the channel. It helps the episode, myself. And thank you again. Spread the word for your friends, family, anyone that's always into fantasy. This is great news. In the next 8 weeks, let me know what your thoughts are. After I post them, I'll be being the GM. I look forward to hearing from you guys. You could always email me questions. I could always post them on here. Reply back to you at fantasyendzonepodcast@gmail.com. And I look forward to seeing and hearing from you guys. Also, you could hit up DMs on Instagram, Fantasy End Zone. With that, that is another episode, and I'll talk to you guys later. Peace.